Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
You know, guys, I was speaking with one of my boys over the weekend. Mm-hmm. And actually, I was thinking about, you know, we've talked about on the radio program really for some time now how much technology has developed over the last 7 years. It's just developed, I mean, huge. The things we're able to do today with a high-speed internet is absolutely remarkable. And kids get on, you know, the internet today, and they have no idea that I had to explain to them that there was a dial-up system. I mean, this thing was like slow as molasses. It didn't do anything. I mean, yeah. It wasn't a big deal to get on the internet because there was no social media or anything, no videos or nothing like that. No flash or all that jazzy stuff that you see moving on your screen. That wasn't, mm-mm. I mean, the websites were very basic.
Yeah, very basic.
Very, very basic. And we were oohing and aahing over that, you know, mm-hmm. like, remember Netscape? Ooh.
Yeah, right.
And we also have spoken about how over the next 5 to 7 years, technology is just going to exponentially just move leaps and bounds. But I'm driving with my boys in the car, and we have one of those moments. You know, they're talking about iPods and iPads and iPhones, and they're talking about just basically all these new inventions that were coming out. My son says, you know, Dad, do you think that because Steve Jobs died, who, if you don't know, is the founder of Apple, who's, you know, they have the iPhone and the iPad and the Mac computers and a lot of the products that many people are using today. He says, because Steve Jobs died, do you think that Apple will no longer have all these products? And I, you know, said, well, I don't think so. I, you know, think they have enough depth or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I told him that, you know, people will keep creating. He didn't create everything. Obviously, he had talented people there. But then I got to thinking about Steve Jobs. And instantly I thought about this one man and how he had impacted technology that we use today. This one man, just follow me here because I'm going somewhere with this, you know. This one man impacted four major industries. Four. Some people are, I mean, if you can just impact one, you've done something remarkable. Mm-hmm. If you impacted one industry and you left your print, I mean, they're still talking about Henry Ford today. You know what I'm saying? They're still talking about Henry Ford. And this man affected four. I mean, he started off with a computer with, and this is not a biography of Steve Jobs, but just start looking at technology and just the things that people can do and just what's happening. So he starts off with a computer company, Apple, long time ago, and with a partner, Steve Wozniak, and they create this computer, you know, and it's amazing, you know. And I remember when computers were so expensive, and I mean, I had a neighbor who had one. Was like, oh my goodness, and everything was green.
Yeah,
but it was amazing. This green,
it was all DOS code.
Yeah, this brown, this black screen with green writing was amazing.
Yeah,
Oregon Trail. I remember those round floppy disks and all that. Oh my goodness, we have come such a long way. Mm-hmm. But computer was an amazing. I mean, normally there was, you know, computers the size of buses back then, and here now a home personal computer was amazing.
Yeah.
So he affected the computer industry.
Yeah.
Then after some time, he left Apple. He was kind of ousted out of Apple from the guy he brought in, by the way.
Right.
He was ousted out of Apple and got involved in movies. And really short, you know, skipping a whole lot here on Professor Noah's whole biography, but just know some things. And he got involved with Pixar. And if you know anything about Pixar, he wound up practically owning the company after a while.
Mm-hmm.
And Pixar created some of the wonderful movies that we have seen with our children, like Toy Stories.
Mm-hmm.
But they made Toy Story. This is the first time animation like that was ever created. And they made that movie for $26 million.
Well, as the form that you saw it, like digital.
Digital,
not
correct.
The first animation, right?
Right, digital.
Right.
Of that type of quality, which is revolutionary. I mean, to see,
oh yeah,
I mean, the movie's a classic. It was $26 million to create, and it grossed $361 million worldwide.
Wow.
I mean, animation. And so, I mean, from that, of course, they have three Toy Stories, and they have all these amazing, I mean, just completely revolutionized that digital animation part of the movie industry. I mean, so much so that I believe Disney wound up buying it back from them, did a partnership, and I think Disney wound up buying it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was huge. I mean, it has never been done before. Mm-hmm. So here a guy who has touched computers, who gets involved in the movie industry and creates, I mean,
blockbuster. This isn't Steve Jobs. You're talking about some other guy.
No, this is Steve Jobs. This is Steve Jobs. He got involved with Pixar.
Okay.
He got involved with Pixar early on.
Oh, okay. With some other people. I didn't know that.
And brought, yeah.
Brought the technology and everything. And then, you know, George Lucas was involved in the beginning, but he wound up just buying more and more and more of the company. Mm-hmm. Said, let me do this thing, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then did got a contract basically to make some movies with Disney. And then, you know, years later, Disney wound up buying all of it out. But but this is when he had left Apple,
which
is the company he founded.
Interesting.
So he affects the movie industry in a profound way. And I don't want to get into the details of all of it, but I mean, it's like, I believe they said that all of Pixar movies now have grossed $7 billion. $7 billion. These are like animation for children movies, Cars, and all that type of stuff. And then...
Although I won't lie, I do enjoy those.
Yeah. They're pretty good. Son, I'm trying to watch this movie for you, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to be here with you. Hey, let's enjoy it. I'm trying to suffer here with you watching. Ooh, is that Woody? Anyway. then... He comes back to Apple, and now he affects the music industry. This has been undone before. At this time, people were literally stealing music, right? Downloading music. The music industry was hurting big time. And Steve Jobs creates this iPod that was going to revolutionize the way people carry music. I mean, back in the day, if all you had was 10,000 CDs, you had 5 disc CD changer and 600 CDs in your trunk if you're a music lover.
Right.
And then you couldn't get some of the oldie stuff, and your parents couldn't listen to their old music. And you know what I'm saying? There was stuff that you just couldn't get a hold of. Mm-hmm. And everything was mass produced through CDs. And that was the best technology at the time. Remember, we had cassettes and 8-track and all that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he devises this device that you can compress, music, and you put it on this Walkman, if you will, like we had back in the day, right, with cassette tapes, but you get a way that you can carry all of your music.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're talking about gigs. You're talking about thousands and thousands of songs on a mobile device. Totally revolutionized the music industry.
Mm-hmm.
And he created a platform where people can actually pay now for music. Totally changed the music industry.
Mm-hmm.
One person. Talking about computers. We're talking about movies. We're talking about music now, and you would dare say that he almost saved the music industry. There was, I mean, they had other MP3 type players out, but nothing could come close to what iPad, and there hasn't been. There's been other attempts, but
iTunes,
other companies.
You mean?
Well, iTunes and iPod are kind of, you know, they work together. iTunes is the store for the iPod, where people could buy the music. But other companies have tried to come close, and they can't even replace anything that comes as close as the technology and the format and all those different things. Then he gets into the cell phone industry and creates the iPhone. Up until this moment, there was nothing on the market that could even come close. I mean, they had Windows-based software. We know them today as apps. But Windows-based software, that kind of worked. You had the hourglass deal, and, you know, most people didn't know how to do that. But what he did was simplify and make a fantastic product that was in the hands of the masses, which really was a handheld computer that happened to be a phone, the truth be told.
Mm-hmm.
But it was an amazing device. You got computers, movies, music, cell phone, and then the tablet. It comes out with the iPad. Today, this iPad, because of this invention, has literally crippled laptop sales, and they've outsold tablets than personal laptop computers.
Mm-hmm.
And tablets were around before, but again, a new innovative invention totally came and swept and just took over, just totally just took over.
Mm.
So you're looking at this technology. Yeah, yeah, totally amazing. One man affects four industries, major industries. And in 2013, Q1, the first, you know, they call it their annual reporting, you know, they sold 47.8 million iPhones, 22.9 million iPads, 12.7 million iPods, 4.1 million Macs, computers.
Mm-hmm.
That's $54 billion of revenue in a three-month period of time. In a three-month period of time. But you know what, guys? At Steve Jobs, today, he's dead.
Yeah.
He's dead. A young man who died of cancer. It's estimated at the time of his death, he was worth $6.5 to $7 billion. $6.5 to $7 billion. And I think about, and I talk with my sons about this verse of scripture that the Lord laid on my heart. Mark 8:36. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? All of that money, all of that technology, all of that impact in technology and in the world, and the millions of products that have been sold worldwide, it is now the number one company in the world.
Wow.
And yet, what does it profit a man? When you think that no amount of money, no amount of technology can take care of your soul. I mean, no amount of medicine. I mean, surely money wasn't the issue, because he could have gotten the best medical treatments.
Mm-hmm.
He could have gotten the best medicines. He could have had the best environment to heal and do what he needed to do. He could have had the best of the best of the best. And yet not even $6.5, $7 billion could what? Buy him his health or keep him alive.
No.
No amount of money.
Nope.
And there's no amount of money that can buy you the three precious things that are so important in your life. There's no amount of money that can buy you your peace.
Mm-mm.
How many people have we seen? How many people have we seen that have passed away? That have passed away and didn't have no peace?
Yeah.
I mean, they have riches, wealth, fame, fortune. The love of fans around the world, and yet they have no peace. And they're tormented and drink themselves and drug themselves, you know, and it's like
oblivion.
Medicate themselves because they can't find any peace. I mean, I didn't have millions of dollars and I didn't have any peace. Jesus, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have any peace. And I didn't understand. I used to think that was a cute name when they called Jesus the Prince of Peace. But when I met Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I understood what that name, his name meant, the Prince of Peace, to have peace in your life.
Right.
People need peace. You know, your health, no amount of money can purchase your health. I mean, it's reported, I believe, that he even tried to get a liver transplant and bought a liver.
Mm.
But he still died. I mean, the Bible says that it's appointed a day for each man to die and then the judgment.
Mm-hmm.
No amount of money can keep you alive. They're talking about freezing Hugo Chavez. I mean, it's like, that's, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you can't, we are not, we're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to die. So no amount of money can buy your peace. No amount of money can buy you your health. And no amount of money can save your soul, can give you the salvation. I mean, the Word of God says that what good is it for someone to gain the whole world, all the riches, all the fame, all the wealth, all the land, the whole world, all the power, all the resources, all the technology, all the medicine, and yet forfeit their soul? Because you know what? We're going to pass away. It's all going to be over one day.
That's right.
Or what can a man give in exchange for their soul? Your soul is the most precious, precious thing you have. And Jesus died. Jesus died for you.
Mm-hmm.
I want to encourage you today that as we live through life and go through life and we see people gaining things and gaining wealth, and that we don't fall into a trap of admiring things that have no significant eternal value. Your soul is precious to God. He died for you. He died for me. He died for us all. And we can give him our life.
Mm.
We can give him our life. Because at the very end, on people's deathbeds, and I've been to many people's deathbeds as a chaplain for the LSU Medical Center. I lived and worked in the hospital
mm-hmm.
around the clock. That people only have two regrets when they pass away.
Yeah.
One, I wish I would have done more for my family because I'm getting ready to leave them. And the second is I wish I knew God because I'm getting ready to see him.
Yeah.
You can avoid tomorrow's regrets today. One, you know, the thing about people that have a lot of wealth, too, is they try to stay immortal. And you even see people now, they're trying to do everything they can with fitness and eating right and eat the right vegetables. And all, they worship the body instead of worshiping the Lord who created the body. We weren't meant to worship the body. We were meant to worship the God who created the body. And why are we fighting so much to stay alive if what we're doing with our life doesn't have significant eternal significance for the kingdom of God? I want to encourage you today that if you've been seeking God and someone turned you on to VFN Radio, I want to tell you that God loves you and he died for you. He has a plan for your life. And that if you give him your life, you exchange your life, he'll give you true life, eternal life to come. What will it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his own soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for their soul? We talk about Steve Jobs and all the ways that he impacted four major industries: movies, music, cell phone, computers, tablets. And yet, at the very end, having been worth $6.57 billion, even all the money and all the technology in the world couldn't heal him. He died of cancer.
Mm.
And there's no amount of money. There's no amount of money that can buy four precious things. We talked about three precious things, but we left out one other one. But no amount of money can buy your peace. I mean, if you've been distraught before, I mean, just give me some peace. No amount of money can buy your peace. No amount of money can buy your health. I mean, think about it. Can't make you 100% healed. If he had a stricken disease,
right?
No amount of money can buy love, true love, right? No amount of money can buy love. You don't buy love.
Mm-mm.
Love can't be bought. Love is given. Love can't be bought.
Mm-hmm.
And no amount of money can buy the salvation of your soul. Nothing. All we can do is give and accept what Jesus Christ has already done. We need to get out of that rat race and stop looking at the things of this world that people think will make them happy. Happiness is something that just happens, but joy, true joy, true life, true living only can come from an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. But you can have an abiding relationship when you accept him as your Lord and Savior, and he becomes your very best friend. He's not the man upstairs. He's not the co-pilot. He's not somewhere up in the... He wants to be your very best friend. I want to encourage you that some of us have written out our stories, our encounters on how we met God. And you can read a little bit more. We didn't write everything, but you can find out more at meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. We'll be right back.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.